fed the litter in the end stars, Armin.
Aye, Gaffer. That's the lot. That's got all the feeding done.
Aye, got it done at Brookfield, perhaps. But we still got the stock of the small holding to think about, you know.
Oh, we'll find time somehow.
Yeah, you might be able to now, but just wait till we start spring sowing in good earnest. Now I've got the blooming place, I don't know how we're going to cope with all the jobs.
What was that I heard? What's up then, Dan, my old pal?
Well, I was just trying to work out in my own mind how we can keep the small holding going as well as Brookfield.
Oh, that's all right. If it's all buckles in, we'll get to it.
Aye, but giving Peggy a helping hand's one thing. Working for Dan Arch is another.
Not to me, my old beauty. Glad to do the same for you as what I did for Peggy.
Well, it's very good of you, Walter.
All I ask is, if I get a bit behind with me ploughing and harrowing, you'll do a couple of days with your tractor to help put me straight, Dan.
Aye, glad to, lad.
Ah, well, that's got that settled then.
Here, what's up with you fidgeting and wriggling about? Like a blinking owl hen in the dust.
I reckon some corn husk must have worked the way down your trousers, Walter.
It ain't fleas, is it?
No, of course it ain't. I never had them. Not in March, anyway. Tell you what, Dan.
Aye?
Use young Jack's greenhouses at the small old...
My greenhouses, you mean, don't you?
All right, all right, you're on then. Well, you use them for sprouting your seed potatoes.
Why, that's a good idea, Gaffer. Blow me if it ain't.
You got all your seeds shorted and down there? Fetch your shoots along beautiful under the glass.
Aye, not a bad idea that, Walter. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I'm full of ideas, my old pal, full of them.
You're full of something else, too, by the look of it. What are you scratching about, Walter?
Again, was I? I didn't notice.
Perhaps he's been and bought himself a new pair of pants.
No, I ain't, Kenny. Even if I had, there's no business of yourn.
Look at him. He's at it again.
Give over, Walter. You're making me feel all itchy myself. I reckon you've got measles or chicken pox. Get away from us. You're infectious, lad.
Nothing of the sort. Just so happens these pants I got on ain't as comfortable as what they should be, that's all.
Mrs. Priest put some itchy powder in when she mended them, I reckon.
No, she never then. If you wants to know, was a bit short on material and had to use an odd piece of flannel or blanket or something as her found in one of Peggy's cupboards.
You daft old bism. Go and change them.
I can't. Use three pair to make this in. I only got one other pair and I washed them last night. They ain't dry yet. I got nothing to change into. Go on, laugh. Laugh at me, misfortune.
Well, I haven't got time to stay here all day watching you do the rumble, Walter. There's work to do.
Yeah.
Oh, before you go, Simon,
yes?
Nip down on your bike down the small holding, feed the stock of muckamat, will you?
Right-o.
I'll see you both later.
Right-o. I'll be off in half a minute.
Dang these blame pants. I should think Mrs. P patched him with emery paper.
Emery paper?
Yes, well, that's what it feels like. Oh, wouldn't say nothing to Mrs. P about it, though. I hate to offend a woman after she did it in such good spirit.
You know, if you was to marry her, you could speak your mind instead of trying not to hurt her feelings.
Yeah, now that's enough of that, Simon. I knew it would start. Just because her mends me pants, you want to get us up the altar steps at full gallop. Well, I won't gallop for nobody.
Isn't that a lovely view?
Yes, very nice. Now, Polly...
Well, look at it, then. You haven't even looked.
Polly, this is a crisis.
I know. I've been through quite a crisis myself, Mr. Perkins. I've had a lot to weigh up since you seriously talked about marriage to me.
Oh, if you've been distressed...
Oh, now, keep your pipe going. The nets are biting. It would mean changing my life again. Leaving me cottage I've got fond of. Leaving Peg and Jack, just as they're taking over the ball for themselves and might be glad of a bit of help. Leaving all the friends I've made, perhaps having to change my habits that I got used to since I've been living on my own.
I realise I'm asking you to make an awful sacrifice. Why should you give up your independence?
I didn't say they were sacrifices, Mr. Perkins. What I said was that they were some of the things I'd have to consider if I was changing my life again. At my age, you've got to look at it practical.
Yes, Polly.
Well, I've come to the conclusion I'm prepared to do it. I'll marry you, Arthur Perkins.
What? Oh, Polly, Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, now, there's no need to make a fool of me. We're both old enough to know better.
You've made me very, very happy. I feel too full up to say very much, but I think you know.
I think I've known all along.
Really?
Well, some folk you get on with and some you don't. Some you take to and like at once. I liked you, Arthur. I felt safe somehow.
Well, this is peace at last.
Yeah, I feel peaceful too. We may be the daftest couple of old dodgers who ever drew breath. Well, if we are, we are. But I'm willing to try.
What, the cruise and everything?
The cruise and everything.
Well, then there'll be a lot to do, unless you'd rather leave getting married until after the cruise.
Well, now our minds are made up, it might just as well be as soon as we can arrange it. So let's get married before we go on the cruise. That's all right, Mr. Gabriel?
No, bless your life, ma'am. You got a guilty conscience about something and can't sleep or what? Thought I was an early riser this morning, but here you am up and about.
Well, I have to get up to see Joyce Richmond off an early train to London.
Oh, so you thought you'd come and have breakfast with me, is that it?
Oh, I've had me breakfast, thank you very much, I'm sure.
Well, I ain't. So you better come on in and have a cup of summat with me. Hey, that's if your future intended ain't likely to object.
And why should he?
Well, you know how jealous these here young Romeos can get.
If you're going to make remarks in bad taste, I'll not stay.
You can please yourself about that, ma'am. I didn't ask you to come here.
Now, look, Mr. Gabriel, let's have no hard feelings between us.
Hard feelings? Why should we?
Well, I know you've took my plans for marrying again a bit hard.
Oh, why, nothing of the sort, ma'am. I'm laughing me head off.
There's no need to be nasty about it.
Well, I've not said a wrong word yet.
Why are you laughing your head off, then?
Well, because I reckon 'tis amusing to see two people like you and Mr. Arthur Perkins going all romantic with cruises and engagements and tropical moonlight and all that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you find it funny. We find it very pleasant.
Well, that's all right, then, ain't it?
I came to see about Cherry. What are you going to do about the pony and trap? Have you decided?
Yes. You give them to the kids at the Bull. Jack and Peggy's nippers.
You don't want them for yourself?
No. No, I got me bus. The pony and trap would only be a nuisance. You do what you please with them, ma'am. But if you don't know what to do, I suggest that Jack's youngsters might be tickled pink with them.
Oh, very good. That's what I'll do. And I'll tell them it was your idea.
No need to bother to do that, ma'am. No need at all. Give the pony as a present from you to them, a sort of parting gift.
I'd like to think that when I do go, we'll part good friends, Mr. Gabriel, for old time's sake.
Why ever shouldn't we?
I shall miss you.
No, you won't. Out in them foreign places with Arthur Perkins and summat new to see every day, you won't miss me, nor Ambridge. You'll be off on a new life.
I keep having awful feelings of doubt and misgiving.
Well, any woman what marries a stranger must have a few thoughts to herself about whether or not being wise.
Arthur isn't a stranger, and I won't have a word said against
him. Well, I ain't said nothing against him yet, have I?
Oh, yes, you have. You don't like him, and you make no bones about it. You try to spoil everything, laughing at us as though we're a standing joke. I think you're real mean about the whole thing. I wouldn't mind if you were sad and miserable about it.
I bet you wouldn't. Well, I ain't.
No. You've got no feelings, that's why. No decent human feelings. And that's the truth of it. Get up then, Cherry.
Hey, now, half a mo.
Oh, don't you talk to me. Get up, Cherry.
No, Well, I got to say, women, oh, I don't know. All I can say is the best of luck to you, Arthur Perkins. You're going to need it. Oh, Lord, you certainly are.
What's the time, Peg?
11:15.
That's it then. He's not coming. He said he'd be here with the taxi for 11 sharp. And here I am with me hat on and everything.
And a crowd outside to wave you goodbye.
And he just hasn't bothered to turn up. Do you think it's all been a big joke?
Now, Mum, don't start getting yourself all steamed up. He's only 10 minutes or so late. Give the chap a chance.
Well, I've got my ticket for the cruise. Look, passport and everything.
Got your money?
Yes, traveller's checks and everything. At least Arthur's got them.
Arthur? You mean Mr. Perkins is holding your money?
Yes, he's got a proper lock-up briefcase that he's putting all our money in. Because, you see, there'll be different currencies and everything. He explained it all to me.
Did he say anything else? I mean, you're sure he said he'd pick you up here?
Yes. Oh, I do remember he did say something about a little surprise I should get.
Oh, did he say whether it would be pleasant or unpleasant?
I didn't say, but I took it to be pleasant, naturally.
I don't like the sound of all this.
You don't think he's standing me up in front of all my friends like this, do you?
With all your traveller's checks and your luggage? I wonder.
No, no, of course he wouldn't. Don't talk so silly.
Oh, my goodness, whatever's that?
It's all right, Mum. It's Arthur.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hey, do you know what the cheering was for?
No, what?
He's arrived driving our very nice new car.
Eh? Oh, well, let's see. Oh, my goodness me, that must have cost a lot of money. But you can't use a car on a cruise.
Polly, where are you? We're off.
Oh, Arthur, I thought you were never coming.
Oh, I got stuck in a traffic block in Hollerton. What do you think of your new car?
Eh?
Well, our new car. We shall drive quietly down to Southampton and store it there till we get back. This is a surprise I planned.
Oh, well, my goodness me. Isn't it exciting?
Exciting? Oh, this is only the beginning, Polly, my dear. You'll wait till we're in Italy or Egypt or India.
Mm-hmm. Did you put my seasickness pills in me bag, Peg?
Yes, Mum. Take care of her, Mr. Perkins. She's the only mum I've got.
I will, my dear.
Now, where are the children,
They're
Peg?
All outside admiring the car. Now, chin up. No tears and out we go, Polly.
Well, goodbye, everybody. Look after Peg, Jack.
Of course.
And don't forget to write.
No, I won't, Mum.
I'll let you know where I am and when and where we get married.
Yes, righto.
Bye-bye, Mrs. Archer.
Goodbye, Mrs. P.
I'll come and see you.
Yes.
Come on, Polly.
Yes, bye-bye,
bye-bye,
Mum.
Mrs. P. Have a lovely time. Goodbye, Mrs. P. We shall all miss you very much. God bless you and keep you safe always. And happy.
My lad, Doris. My Nelson.
Why, what's he done now?
It ain't what he's done. It's what's happened to him. It was the plane, you see. It stopped for refueling. It was all right then. Only a few hours and he'd have been home. Oh, dear, oh, Lord.
Oh, Walter, whatever's happened?
It was due to land 6 hours ago, but there's been no word of it. Just disappeared and my Nelson with it. The plane just ain't arrived, Doris. The plane ain't arrived. And I don't know what to do.
Oh, dear, Walter, I am sorry. You're quite sure there's been no mistake? Walter, are you there?
What is it, love?
It's Walter. Walter!
Yes. Yes, I'm here, Doris. Sorry, love.
Is there anybody with you?
No, I drove myself over alone. I wanted it to be just the two of us.
Now listen, go and get a cup of strong tea or coffee and sit quietly somewhere. Now try and keep calm and don't upset yourself more than you can help.
Oh, but what can I do? I don't know what to do. I just can't think.
Do what I say. A nice hot drink and sit quietly. Dan and I'll be with you just as soon as we possibly can. Now, I want you to think very carefully, Walter, so that you can tell me exactly how to find you. You're still at the airport, aren't you?
Oh. Hello, Dad.
How do, Nelson, lad? You don't mind me coming to see you?
Mind? Why should I mind?
Oh, all sorts of reasons.
Yes. Now I come to think of it, the denizens of Ambridge will no doubt do all they can to make it hot for you.
I know there you're wrong, Nelson. Folks is being very kind.
I see. That's the way they're playing it, is it?
How do you mean?
Offering their heartfelt sympathy to a poor old man whose only son turned out to be a ne'er-do-well.
Am you a ne'er-do-well, Nelson?
What I am or what I'm not is entirely beside the point. I'm quite sure the Ambridgeites... Does one say Ambridgeites, by the way, or Ambridgeans?
I never says neither, personally.
Anyway, as I was saying, I'm quite sure the Ambridgeites have blackened my character to the utmost limits.
They're not a lot of unfeeling thickheads, you know, Nelson. They're honest, decent, hard-working...
Yes, go on, say it. My most unfavourite word.
Respectable...
That's it. That's the one. Respectable.
Well, they am, lad.
In that case, I'm delighted to be the opposite of respectable, whatever the word is for that.
Oh, this is just your talk, ain't it, Nelson? Always was one to talk big. Always did have big ideas. Once you got going, like...
Once I got through a very painful adolescence, I think you mean. I was what I think is called nowadays a late developer, wasn't I?
I've always been proud on you, lad. Always.
But now you're not.
Who said any such thing?
Well, you did speak as if it was in the past.
Well, it ain't. I'm still your dad and I'm still proud on you. Though I must say it seems mighty strange to be sitting here in this place talking to you. After we all thought...
Oh, that. Yes, I was very sorry about that. It was, of course, a complete misunderstanding. You do know that.
Misunderstanding? How could it be?
I wasn't on the plane that crashed. My plans were changed at the last minute.
Oh, so it was somebody else who was killed then?
The point is that I wasn't. I was very grieved when I learned what had happened.
Oh. Would you like me to come and see her again?
Not unless you really want to, and certainly not if it's in the least difficult.
Of course I want to. Oh, I thought I should never see her again, Nelson. And if they should decide as you... Well, as you am responsible for this here robbery job, well...
You mean, if I was found guilty, I should be sent to a maximum security prison for quite a number of years?
More years than I shall ever see, Nelson.
Then let me set your mind at rest, Dad. My plea will be not guilty.
Then you never done it, lad?
Do you believe I did?
I don't know. I just don't know, lad. But if you say as you ain't guilty...
I do say so. I shall continue to say so. Let them do what they like.
I never really believed anything else, lad. I knew as you weren't really a bad lad. Not really bad. So you won't mind if I comes to see it again?
Come every day, if you like. Every afternoon, except Sunday, I receive guests. I'm sorry the accommodation is somewhat confined.
Oh, I'm before I forget. How's that pretty young wench, Gloria? Has you heard?
Gloria? I know no Gloria.
You know, that pretty little girl with the blonde hair what I met in your flat. You used to call me Pop, do you remember?
Oh, that one.
Yeah. How's her bearing up?
Bearing up? I know nothing of her. And I'm excessively indifferent to what has become of her.
But I thought as it was because of her that the police got on to you.
Did you now? Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, it was in the papers.
Was it? You really shouldn't believe everything you read in the papers, you know, Dad.
You mean it ain't true? It ain't the same Gloria?
Look, Dad, if you care to visit me, I shall, of course, be delighted to see you. But on one condition.
Oh, and what's that, then?
That when you do,
We converse on any subject under the sun, except this tiresome mailbag robbery, or whatever the newspapers call it.
Oh.
I find the subject tedious in the extreme. I have no views about it, and no information to impart concerning it. And as I've tried to make perfectly clear, if any of these idiotic charges continue to be made against me, suggesting that I'm implicated in any way, my answer will be a simple but unequivocal no comment. Not guilty.
There. I always said as you was innocent, Nelson. I was.
Well, morning, Walter.
How do, Walter?
Oh, well, hello, Tom. And you, Sid. You looking for me, Summers?
Yeah, well, we had a sudden spasm of anxiety about you, you see.
About me? Hey, what you getting spams about me for, young Sid?
Well, 'tis Saturday midday, and there's good beer being served up at the Bull, but no Walter Gabriel helping to sup it.
You see, the place don't look lived in without you there, Walter. So me and Sid here thought we'd come and rout you out.
Oh, very good on you, Tom Red. But you can both turn round and set off back to the Bull. Because I'm just on my way to join you. Yeah, you don't need to bother your heads about me. I ain't likely to sit and sulk because of this bit of bother my Nelson's found himself mixed up in.
Hey, I never said a word about your Nelson, not a word.
You didn't have to, lad. I could see the way as your minds was a-working. And I ain't being unpleasant about it either. It's very good on you to worry about me like you does. But as I said, us Gabriels don't ever knuckle under and gee in. And Nelson's the same.
Well said, Walter.
And in case anybody should be asking you about it, you can tell them from me that me and Nelson knows as he's innocent. And me and Nelson will act accordingly. The police might have him charged, but they ain't made the charge stick yet. And if they tries to put an innocent fella down, and that innocent fella's my son, then there'll be hell to pay, and I means it. Hell to pay.
I hope all goes well with him, Walter. Wish him all the best.
So say all of us.
We'll be suing the police for wrongful arrest very soon, I shouldn't wonder. My Nelson reckons they got the wrong bloke, and so does I. And by golly, we'll stir it up all round if they tries to work a flanker on us and make Nelson carry the camp for somebody else just because the police have to find the victim somehow.
But there must be some sort of reason why they picked him up, Walter.
Hmm. Have you talked to him yet?
Yeah, of course I've talked to him. What sort of a father do you reckon I am?
And what did he tell you?
That somebody had shopped him behind his back and that somebody will pay for it, that's all.
But Walter, why did he pretend to be dead?
Oh, yeah. Well, now that's another story altogether, Tom. Yes, it was a right old mix-up all round, and it just suited my Nelson's plans to have people think as he was out of the road for a bit.
But even you thought he was dead.
I never said so. I always said as he was still alive. But other people like the vicar and a few more wouldn't have it. Anyhow, that's all done with. And the police have got the wrong end of the stick as usual. You mark my words. And now, do we go and have a drink or stand here in the cold wind discussing the private affairs of my family, eh? Because you two can please yourselves, but I got to...
Oh, no. First of all, I want all your news.
Me?
I'm not afraid of saying right out what's in my mind, Walter Gabriel. Now, what about this lad of yours, young Nelson? What's going to happen to him? And what's the truth? Did he do it or didn't he? No messing about now. Let's have the truth, if you please.
You don't change much, does you, ma'am? Yeah, just as straight from the shoulder as ever.
Well, you wouldn't want me any different, Mr. Gabriel. Wouldn't be me if I was, would it? Now, what's more, I haven't got a lot of time here. It's only a day trip, so it's best to come to the point. And after all, you can talk to me.
Yes, ma'am, I could have done with you to back me up this last few weeks.
Reckon he done it. Whatever you say won't go no further. You can rest assured on that.
Well, he says he's innocent, Mrs. P, ma'am. The police say he's guilty, and it's as simple as that. If it was your son, who would you believe, eh?
Well, I reckon I'd stick up for me own flesh and blood, right or wrong, same as you. But how is he, and what are they doing with him now?
Oh, poor lad's locked up in Gloucester Jail, remanded in custody till one of the next assizes. Well, it ain't sure which one yet.
Can you see him and take him things regular?
Oh, yes, so long as I don't take him a sword or a chisel or summat.
Hmm. How does he seem to be taking it?
Oh, very quiet and philosophical, ma'am. In fact, if he knowed he was going to be in the clear and knowed it would all turn out all right, well, he couldn't be more calm, ma'am.
Oh.
Seen old Walter this morning, Tom?
No, not yet. You, do you reckon he really will stay away from the troll like Nelson wants him to?
That's what he said yesterday, didn't he, Dan?
It's a funny thing for Nelson to say, really, isn't it?
Well, Walter's quite sure it'll be over in a few days.
Yes, I know he is. Told me the same thing. I was just wondering whether it was Nelson showing a bit of genuine concern for his old dad's feelings for once.
How do you mean, Tom? Genuine concern?
Well, it could be that the troll may be a long one and Nelson won't get off and he knows it. He's filled Walter up with these false hopes, just to spare him the ordeal of sitting through a long case and then seeing his lad sent down at the end of it.
Yes. Dan was just saying that with all this money involved, anything could happen. As he says, money can buy anything, if there's enough of it, even silence.
There are times when I wish I had that sort of money.
What sort?
Why, the sort that buys silence, sometimes.
Oh, I see. Here, Dan Archer, what did you mean about buying silence? Were you getting at me by any chance?
Well, it's a cat fits low.
Well, I never heard the
lunch. Oh, how do, Tom? Hello, Sid.
Evening, Walter.
We'd heard the news and thought we'd come along and say how pleased we was.
Pleased? And how do you think I feel, eh?
Well, I'd have said as you'd be delighted, Walter, after all the anxiety. But that's over now.
Over, is it? I'm afraid I can't agree with you there, Tom.
But he was cleared, Walter. By majority decision of the jury, and Nelson was released. A free man. Free to do what he likes, to come and go as he pleases.
Yes, that's just it, ain't it, Sid? Free to come and see his old dad and spend a bit of time with him. Talk to him, explain a few things. But all he does is to send me this here note, two or three lines, saying as he'd arranged to go away as quickly as possible.
Go away, Walter? Well, go away where?
Oh, that's what I'd like to know, Tom.
So, here we are again, Dad. Well, aren't you pleased to see me?
Why, yes, of course I am, lad. Why didn't you come afore?
Oh, surely that was obvious. Anyway, must we stand here in the hallway?
Yeah, I know, no. Come on through into the back kitchen. Come on.
Righto.
Well, look who's here, Tom. Me son and heir.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, evening, Nelson.
Good evening.
Artist, congratulations. I'm getting off, I mean.
I getting off? What do you mean, Tom Forrest?
Tom here means being found not guilty.
Well, look, I dare say you two will have a lot to talk about, so I'll get on my way.
Oh, all right, you am, Tom.
Well, must you go? Don't run away on my account.
Oh, I wouldn't want to intrude on a reunion like this. I'll let myself out, Walter.
Righto.
We'll have another word about, you know, what we was talking about.
Right you am, me old pal, me old beauty.
Thanks for the nettle beer. Good evening, Nelson.
Good evening. Ugh, you two have been drinking that filthy stuff, have you?
What do you mean, Nelson? Filthy? My old granny
was probably a witch, a dope peddler, and heaven knows what. Isn't there a decent drink in the house?
I know, you watch what you were saying about me, old granny. I was a very remarkable woman.
I'm very sorry, dear, but I'm rather tired. I've had an extremely trying and exhausting day in order to get here to see you for a few hours, and
Yes, you must have done, lad. Drop a scotch.
Well, that's more like it. Where do you keep it?
No, you sit still, lad. I'll get it. Here. What did you say? A few hours? But you're a free man. Surely you're going to stay here as long as you like, or in that beautiful flat of yours in Borchester.
No, I'm sorry. It's quite out of the question, at least for the time being.
But why, lad? You've been acquitted. You're a free man. You can please yourself what you does.
That's the theory, true. In practice, things work out rather differently.
Oh, I don't see why.
Well, look at the hue and cry there was last week. And when they couldn't find me, they had to build up their stories around you.
Oh, yes. They did me proud in the Sunday papers, didn't they? And on the telly.
As a matter of fact, Dad, you did very well. I was proud of you. You didn't put a foot wrong.
But how could I put a foot wrong, then?
A thousand and one ways. As it was, you made a splendid smokescreen.
Well, I ain't sure as I follows. But any road, what is it to stop you from staying here for a little while, eh?
Because if you would think for just one moment, my dear aged parent, you would understand that my business career hasn't been exactly furthered by this wretched business.
Oh, no, never thought of that. Oh, so you were going to sue for wrongful arrest, like what you said?
No, I'm going to do the exact opposite. That would only draw further attention to me. I want to be left alone to pick up the pieces of what was on the way to becoming a very brilliant career.
Oh, I reckon you're right and all. Yeah, well, how long do you figure on staying here, then?
Until nightfall, when I've had a drink or two and something to eat, if there's anything in the house.
Oh, of course there is. Mrs. B's left a beef stew, only needs warming up. Eh? What say?
I said splendid.
Oh, right, then. I'll pop it in the oven. But Nelson, does you have to go so soon?
I'll be back. Have no fear.